December 6, 2016, it's a Watt for Pedro show.
Thank you.
Pedro Show. Hey, Brother Matt.
Hey, back in action.
Yeah, back in action. Is that a new hat?
No, it's a clean one. I got it cleaned.
How do you do that?
Yeah, I took it to the cleaners. Yeah, I didn't know you could do that.
You throw them in the washing machine, no, the brim's gone, right?
Yeah, you could do it once in a while, a couple times maybe, but
the brim.
Yeah, it was kind of a good one. I didn't want to just trash it.
What's in a brim?
I think cardboard.
Cardboard, yeah. So there you go, really.
I had these cool hats from Thailand when I was there. They were everywhere. I can't find them anywhere else, but it was like a baseball hat but with no brim. So it was just like a little skull cap.
Whoa.
But it was great for like bad hair days or didn't want, kind of yummy.
Pope's hat.
Yeah.
Pope wears a yarmulke. Anybody ever tell
me? Those guys all go to the same parties.
But when they dry clean, so it's like you're not soaking it.
I guess not. But, it worked out pretty good.
I remember sometimes I had them in the brims.
Yeah, they were never
the
same.
It's different these days. Flat brims.
Yeah, hip hopper. Yeah, I'm not
Nobody
into that.
Nobody had a flat brim.
Yeah, you worked that thing.
Someone would slap it
off. Yeah. Yeah, it's like right out of the box.
Yeah. Well, sometimes
they keep the tag on it. Yeah, keep a tag on there. Yeah.
About.
I don't know. Hip hop dudes. It's too big, too. Couple sizes
that
too big.
So kind of Charlie Brown Rock. He had the flat brim, and he had it way too big. Started with Evidence from John Coltrane when he was with Thelonious Monk there, both at Carnegie Hall, 1957, the year John Coltrane quit. Miles Davis punches him after a gig. You're out of the band. And the story is, Thelonious Monk was backstage, and Miles, you shouldn't have done that. So he goes to John, you play with me, I think 9 months, and that pad I take when I'm playing in Philly, the first house he bought, 33rd Street, with his GI Bill and sailor money. He had 2 weeks upstairs.
Suffering.
He shot outside the hatch, and he kicked the shit.
Yeah.
Like Richard Meltzer says, kick dope out of the temple. because I guess everybody thought they had to be as fucked up as Charlie Parker, right?
Mm.
But he told me, John Coltrane showed the other cats, no, you can quit and get better. There was some guy, Clifford Brown, even Diz wasn't that much into him. But Bird was such a monster, everybody looked up to him, and then they saw how wasted he was. I have to be like that.
But that whole like preconceived mindset or that's a part of it. Peter talked about that so awesomely.
That's right.
It was so, his story was just amazing. Just how that was part of it. Yeah. He's badass.
Yeah, big one. We started the show off, John Coltrane like always. But then Heartfall from Model Actress, which is one of the projects, our guest today, Brother Matt. We got to welcome aboard Mr. Tim Aaron.
Tim's in the house.
Hello.
Yeah. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Down to Pedro from where?
From L.A., Silver Lake.
Silver Lake car.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, it's one word.
Yeah.
No.
What?
It's two words.
Really?
There's a cat named Silver. I think he was a water management guy.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's actually a family name of the guy. And then that lake's named after him.
So the little development trip to...
Well, it was a reservoir. It's a reservoir first. It still is.
Yeah, it's empty right now.
It was like Hollywood land.
But that's like, where it started. I don't think there was when it was built, there was a lot going on. Mm-hmm. I think Echo Park is actually before Silver Lake, maybe.
Probably.
All them parks. There was downtown L.A. for a long time.
Yeah,
right?
It starts spreading.
Man, that terrible lynching of those Chinese guys. 1880s, four policemen.
Wow.
And the town was tiny.
Wow, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, and they would chase dudes on warrants. There was like nobody patrolling. That's what happened to these... vigilantes got these guys, and it was terrible.
There's KKK action in Pedro back in those times.
Right,
too.
A little later 20s. Yeah, in fact, there was a march in 1923. It was on 10th Street. I'm not going to say the name of the place because they don't. But that pad was where they were at.
Uh-huh.
A couple blocks west of Gaffney. And they marched from there. There was an IWW hall here. It's a Mercado now, Bodega, on 12th.
Ooh.
And what's east of, is it of Palos Verde? West of Palos Verde.
Mesa Center, yeah.
Maybe, Mesa. My old town, or my adopted town.
There's nowhere to turn.
Anyway, it's a little bodega now, but that was IWW. They marched on there to say no immigrant. See, nothing's new.
See, a different chapter.
Again, you want it again? No. No. Careful. So, you made the hell ride down, but...
it was smooth.
Actually... You're not from, you're like me, you're from the East Coast.
Yeah, D.C.
Right, so.
Born and raised.
Let's go back to your first music memory.
My first music moment?
What that you have now, memory.
Oh, memory.
Memory of music. That's your earliest, that's what I should say. Huh, brother?
My earliest was probably my dad taking me to a Muddy Waters show.
Bitching.
Yeah.
Going to a gig.
In D.C.
Yeah. Righteous.
All right.
What
so
year?
Before music in the house and shit, it's a gig.
Yeah, then I started.
Where was it at? Do you remember
it was
that?
It was called the Bayou, and it was on right on the Potomac River below Georgetown.
Wow. What year?
Probably south of Georgetown.
Probably 78.
Wow, bitchin'.
Like yeah.
So, he must have been bad to see. That's towards kind of the.
Yeah, my first show was Bo Diddley about 76, 75, 76.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. And what do you remember most about the gig?
Well, I just remember him fighting to get me in because I was like 14.
Oh, underage.
Yeah, and I loved it. And I started, you know.
Did you have a full band?
Yeah, full band.
Well, did he do like electric mud stuff, or did he do or Manish Boy? And,
oh yeah, all of
hits,
it.
Like,
all of it.
Yeah, okay.
Totally.
Mm. Electric Mud is weird. Mm. It's not really what he's known for, but it's a trip thing. Mm. Dudes were trying to show respect, probably. Mm. Maybe
yeah, new era.
Were into like
turn them on to bigger audience. Probably.
Well, yeah, didn't the Stones have them open too?
Mm.
So I started, you know, just listening to my dad's records after that. What's that?
Was there music in the pad, like musicians?
In the pad.
Yeah, like your ma, your pop, did they play?
The oh, no, no. Say? But they had records from the... My dad was working in the White House with Jimmy Carter.
Mm-hmm.
He was a, like, deputy national security advisor, so it was pretty weird.
No, but he was also a music man. He had a lot of records.
But he had records from... Yeah, from... He hadn't bought records for a while, but he had stuff from the 60s and 70s, and he had a lot
so
of blues records.
And you're hearing this in the pad.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first record you got yourself?
The first record I got was... Black Sabbath, the first album.
I think the word's eponymous.
Mm.
No, when you name your record after your band name, I think it's called eponymous because when Albert Bouchard did, speaking of Albert Bouchard, I talked to a dude. This dude wanted me to talk about one record. So for an hour, I talked about Tyranny Mutation by Albert Bouchard over every song. And I told him how important it was to me and B. Boone, a huge influence. But Albert, when they did Brain Surgeons, they called the first album eponymous. Because why? Because they're brain surgeons. But you did.
Well, so, that first track on that album, I actually...
bought that. Now, why that? It came out in 70 or 71, right?
Yeah.
So it's a little down the road. How did you find out about it? Cats at school?
Just me and a friend went to the store and saw this... scary looking.
Oh, the house and the lady.
Yeah, and then, and it was.
The back is funny.
It was actually raining when we bought the record, so we ran back and put it on, and so
and
it starts with rain, so it just got louder and louder until the bells
the
came.
The bells. No, but the back is funny. It's like all these little. The England one's different than the U.S. one, but it's hilarious. It looks nothing like the cover. The cover is pretty.
We were a little enhanced for the first time in our youth, and it
the
was
paranoid
pretty scary.
Who is the guy? Is one of the guys in the band on Paranoid? They dress somebody up in a spacesuit or whatever he's wearing.
Oh, with the sword?
I wonder if that's
I don't know.
It was one of the most goofy covers. Right, yeah. With a sword.
Get in your medieval costume.
He's wearing like something like get up there somehow. But the first album was, it's like Tapestry. It's so scary.
Yeah, it looks.
That was, and that first tune, and with that big flatted fifth, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. So you bought that just because of the cover?
Basically, yeah.
Wow.
And yeah. Dug on a bunch of blind grabs like that over the years, just something
that's
cool. I
think she wrote covers.
Yeah.
Especially when the punk stuff came, because nobody wrote about it. So that was mainly that and the band name.
Yeah.
I knew nothing about it. Said London's go over there, didn't know any of that shit. You know, Ramones, but alternative television, you know.
Yeah.
The pop group name. Turned out they were a pretty good band. But totally picked it on the cover. And yeah, they had guys with the mud heads on it. Up to that point, you getting that record.
Yeah.
Did you play any instruments?
I got a guitar.
Okay, when did that happen?
And I got a bass. I got a bass similar to your Gibson one, actually.
When did you get a guitar?
I would say probably 12.
And why?
My parents were just trying to engage me in something I'd be interested in.
Oh, well, it was their idea?
That was.
Was it like one of these deals where if we get you this guitar, you got to take lessons?
Yeah. And I had, and I learned
almost everybody had that deal.
Yeah.
And it's usually you guys teaching you all the stuff that you don't want to learn.
Yeah.
Or was it? Was it like that?
I remember Dead Flowers. I was taught that. And
oh, wow. So, okay. Yeah. It wasn't like the Segovia or the Alfred.
No, they weren't making
the
me.
Books.
Yeah. No.
No, the guitar method.
No. It was pretty cool, but I kind of went back. I went over to bass, and then I started on drums.
And then you got a bass. Now, why'd you want a bass?
I think it was just because it was easier for me. You know, it's easier to start, not to finish on, but to start on.
When you started on the guitar,
you
just playing with the teacher, playing by yourself, or did you get in a band?
Yeah, no, just sometimes we'd make noise in my basement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a prep band?
Yeah, it was.
Remember your first amp?
It was also a Gibson amp.
I remember when Gibson made amps.
Yeah.
And Boone had one.
Oh, yeah?
His first, like...
Yeah, it was about that size.
Drums,
yeah, exactly. The
112.
Because
we had these little guys with 5-inch speakers. You couldn't even hear those over the drums.
Uh-huh.
You'd have to put them up on dressers.
Right.
Still couldn't hear the shit.
Mm-hmm.
So he got a Gibson. Okay, so like the amp came with the guitar.
Yeah.
And, but then you moved to drums.
Oh.
Based in the drums. So you must have got a drum set.
I did some
guys.
So you
had all three things. So dudes could just come over and you're ready, you're set up.
I had the place where people would hang in the afternoon. I'd cut school early and we'd play.
There's a lot of interlap between guys you went to school with and playing.
Yeah, well, I went to school up in Chevy Chase Circle with Steve Call, actually.
Okay, my booker man.
Yeah. Mm. So we had...
over 25 years.
Mm. There was only like 60 people in that school, but he was one of them and we were friends.
Wow. And so he ended up in SoCal.
Yeah, I know. It was amazing. And then...
Colster. Much respect.
And then I would cut school and basically hang with other people down in Georgetown where I lived. And
they're the ones jamming with you.
Yeah.
What about band? Did you end up putting together the band in high school?
No. Well, in high school is another story because this is like junior high, yeah. I was sneaking out a lot and... My two sort of main musical things I was experiencing was, I would sneak out and see Russ Never Sleeps, Rocky Horror Picture Show, and Eraserhead triple feature.
Late night things.
Yeah, so I'd see that like three times a week.
Russ is Neil Young,
yeah.
And guys in Devo suits.
Yeah.
And, maybe.
Well, they're in Star Wars.
What I was going to say, some kind of Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Helper man, they're like helpers, and there's one Devo guy that's up on the.
He's with the little glowing eyes. Yeah.
He's kind of up on the, I don't know, white mounts.
So I got into
Neil. What's the other one? Rocky Horror, of course.
Rocky Horror, and then Eraserhead. So that was
take over the movie. Rocky Horror, they throw the.
Well, back in the 70s, they would have a motorcycle come in and do a wheelie down the aisle. And,
and that's more than the Tiffany.
Fire extinguishers for the rain.
Yeah, people with water guns.
Oh man.
So everybody saying the words before they come on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They would have the whole band and the whole cast doing the entire thing below the screen.
Yeah. Time Warp.
A party.
Wow.
I mean, just a raging party.
And then the other one, Eraserhead, which
that
is
was
a
like,
total freak out.
Yeah, just the finish
out. Peter Ivers did the soundtrack. It's like...
Yeah, it's the radiator sound.
Yeah, radiator. He ended up getting choked to death real bad.
Oh, no.
Terrible. Nobody solved it. Terrible.
He, well, after that show, we would jam in the theater while the guy who cleaned up also had an SG and a couple big amps. So we would jam it.
It's like, the band that's doing the Rocky Horror.
No. This was just leftover gear, some of his, and then we would just play till like 5 a.m.
Wow.
And
after the movies.
Yeah, it was just that was the other sort of band experience.
Okay. Let's play Gobblehoof, because this is where I first meet you, and this is in Western Massachusetts.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's
college. This is college. And it's a heavy-handed track.
Here we go.
The piece of them rise from the start. delicious.
We now return to
delicious. So I couldn't wait to get home last night. Wash the gel out of my hair.
me down. She makes my temp gauge steady when I'm driving around. She's my radiator of love. She's my radiator of love. She's looking good out in front, where she ought to be. She just leads the way and makes good company.
kada pevam, kada ti idu prijatelji moji, kada ti ide curica na koju hiće moći. Kad po redu dan po dan, na javnim mestima skroz sam, al normalno da uvek neko dođe da me čuje, makar i sa strane. Niš mi više nije važno, naša sam si dobra benda, hoću samo svirati od kačice i to je sve. A kada delam, kada ti idu prijatelji moji, kada ti ide curica na koju hiće moći, ljudi samo pričaju, zake si nervozan, ljudi samo veli, nemoj biti tak grozan, ljudske usne šapću, žulje se po gradu, izbjegavaj frku, skinuli budu ti glavu. I niš mi više nije važno, našao sam si dobar band, hoću samo svirati od kačice i to je sve. I niš mi više nije važno, našao sam si dobar band, hoću samo svirati od kačice i to je sve. I od kačice i to je sve. I od kačice i to je sve.
Live from Pedro Show, you just heard Lutachi Lutatusi DJ Zidana. With Akash Das, I know. Delam, my Slavic. But Brother Bosco's got a new label out there in Skopje, Macedonia, and that's one of the new releases. So, my apologies. By the way, I just got the art for the Pedro Balkan 4-way.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. The Milo Man from Komija, Croatia. Well, they're in Zagreb now. The Vasco from Skopje. Koya from Belgrade, Art Inside Foldout from Darko from Bosnia, and then Second Man.
Oh, bitchin'. Cool.
And it's going to be for Record Store Day 2017.
Bitchin'.
And he, Brother Koya, did this kind of map of the world, and they're kind of like Tim Brown is. Yeah, it's like a little. They're all snarling. But then there's a little. Like a little beam from the Balkans going to Pedro, and then there's a light bulb. It's pretty righteous. Empty Space from Miss Lonely Heart before that. D.E.R. Broken My Heart. Okay. I had, in the desert, they had that Pioneer Town gig.
Mm.
This cat, his name was David. The Pollution before that out of Denver, just got this, brand new. Bastard. Horse before that with... Horse period. Okay. Mental Illness is a Mating Ritual. I think they're on tour right now with somebody, Red Fang or something. Last Lizard, that's, This Is Not My Country, that's, Dirty Beaches. Mm. Brother Ox, he's in Hong Kong right now. Chuck Treese, out of Philly, for All For You. And start off with System is Gobble Hoof. Now, Gobble Hoof.
Yeah.
This band, this is what, you leave the D.C. area to go to school in West Mass?
Yeah, well, I had my first punk rock moment in D.C. right before I left. So,
You did have a band.
Yeah, I went.
Where did they go?
It wasn't my band. I had this, there was this anarchist house that would throw punk shows for, in D.C., you know, it was like protest. Shows. Yeah. And the first time I was invited there by a friend, I sort of snuck out of my house and I had gotten lost trying to find this venue, and I was like walking through the streets, and there was like hip hop. There was a lot of hip hop on boom boxes back then, just on cassette. And I got into this
big band there.
I got into this house, Madam's Organ, in Adams Morgan, and then 3 seconds later they hit the first note of their first concert, Bad Brains.
Oh wow!
And boy,
Drop the Bomb. Who was the band that did Drop the Bomb? They had their own funk scene.
Funk?
The DC had this funk scene. One of these bands was called Drop the Bomb. Drop the Bomb.
I remember, but I don't remember the band.
I've heard about this from Henry and Ian and stuff. And,
yeah.
But you saw the first Bad Brains.
First gig, and it just people were just leaped in the air, pogoing. All the amps fell over. Just the whole thing just meshed into one
bitching
one just pit, and it was mind blowing.
Wow! Yeah. So right there, I want to get into this scene.
What's that?
Was it? It was profound on you.
It was profound. Yeah, I had.
I wanted to get involved with this.
Well, I actually got shipped off to boarding school in Vermont, a hippie boarding school.
So you weren't
just because Carter lost, and my dad, and they were just my parents moved to New York City, and it was just
different world. No,
different world, different world. You know, I started listening.
Bad Brains.
Nope.
Trouble Funk. That was the band. My memory is fucking
right. Nice.
Terrible. Okay.
But we did.
Remember Trouble Funk, Brother Matt? They're the ones who did Drop the Bomb, and they were part of this. And there was a movement. They had a name for this too, but I can't think of it. Maybe it'll come to me.
So instead of actually aping the kind of punk thing that I heard, we actually went in the studio as part of the class.
Wow.
Right away.
Save that, because we're at the end of the first hour, 2016, December 6th, edition WAP Pedro Show. Special guest Tim Aaron, Brother Matt.
Yeah.
Let's hold tight for hour two.
Cool.
December 6th, 2016. It's the second hour. WAP Pedro Show.
Thank you. Losing one's grip, no refrain. You're a self-fire. about fishing. I was a fish. I was a fish.
Thank you. like again. To me, it's plain that Fleroy's cult is no cane.
Pedro Show. Start the second hour off with Experimental Hill arrangement from Abe Aaron, your grandfather.
So yeah.
Tell us about this tune.
So he was in the Les Brown Orchestra.
Oh, yeah.
And toured USO with the Bob Hope.
Okay.
And I just been tasked with family.
What was he playing in the?
He was playing a sax.
Okay. Tenor man?
Yeah.
John Coltrane.
Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, my family's given me all these reel-to-reel tapes and movies.
So after being a player, he became a composer, arranger.
Yeah, he was doing some stuff on the side and
movies,
putting together a band.
TV.
Yeah.
Did you get to know him? He's alive at your...
You know, he died when I was pretty young, like 7 or 8.
Mm.
Okay.
So I did meet him and hung out with him a few times.
But then you found these tapes.
Yeah.
What was that about?
Just family handing me boxes of stuff saying,
yeah,
you're a musician, go figure this out.
And this is reel to reel.
Yeah, all reel to reel stuff. So,
7.5 IBs.
Yeah, getting it transferred at a nice rate.
Yeah.
And, going through it. And, I just found some treasures in there that I had heard some stuff earlier on when I was younger that sounded like some of what Zappa was doing really early on.
Wow.
And it was this...
What, like doo-wop?
No, it was these just four-piece, four horns, these sort of experimental...
Okay. So I think early Zappa, I think always that doo-wop kind of rock and roll.
Yeah, his really early stuff was composed stuff.
Oh, then I don't know it's real early.
Yeah.
It's, I know the Mothers.
Yeah. There's some bootleg stuff of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know about him as much as I do Cat Meefer.
Yeah, I sort of got into that when I went to high school.
Really? High school before? Yeah.
Just because I was sort of isolated from the punk scene up in this boarding school.
Oh, right, right. You're up in Vermont now.
Yeah.
Okay, so. Yeah, let me play the rest. Tell you the last we heard. After Abe... Oh, we heard you doing Whip and Last Laugh, some stuff for TV or something?
Yeah, those are just some gigs I got doing sound for TV.
SoCal.
Uh-huh. Which I sort of have survived on over the years.
Studio
I got to use a whip in one of those tracks. So.
One called Whip?
No, I used like a whip
a
sample.
Whip.
Or
yeah,
a whole whip.
One's called Whip.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Last
that, so that was just such a blast. Yeah, I've gotten to do some weird, funny stuff for TV.
And then we had Echidna. What's it? It's a spiny anteater, right? Echidna. 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 I think that's what they are. Billions of comrades out of Belgium. 5-year plan with WRT out of Sheffield. Right there, James. England. Babes, New York City. Of course, out of New York City. A Dream About Fishing. Ugly Bug from Toxic Mutants out of Germany. Cologne. And finally, the another project, Tim Aaron's here. The F. Leroy's?
Fleroy's, yeah.
Oh, it's the Fleroy's.
The Fleroy's would be the... Yeah.
Fleroy. Fauntleroy, Lord Fauntleroy. Because I don't see an A there, so Fleroy's.
Fleroy's.
Okay, Fleroy's. This was two tunes, Uptown and Oracle, spliced together, like you asked.
Mm-hmm.
And this was you rapping?
Yes, in 81, spring of 81. That was that band class I was telling you about.
Okay, you go to this boarding school in Vermont.
Right, and then they say, we have a band class for a week, and we go with the vice principal to this, like, 16-track recording studio. And me and this other guy from D.C. thought it would be fun to sort of imitate the rap we were hearing on the streets of D.C.
Curtis Blow.
So, yeah, so.
Take it early 80s, Run DMC.
Yeah, so then I discovered this tape just a few years ago and realized.
Oh, Last Poets. Did you hear Last Poets yet?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I remember them. I think I saw them.
There was this one Curtis Blow record. Somebody played me, maybe Dirk. And Bobby Dylan did the intro. You remember that one? Bobby Dylan does a little rap. I think about the media, reading encyclopedia. You know some shit. and Curtis with the fly gold chains and the Cadillac in the hood. You know, it was funny, the early.
Yeah.
And so, what, drum machines?
No, we had Matt, my drummer, who's plays on...
right, because there wasn't really a drum machine going on then.
He played on Sisyphus there, that same drummer.
Okay.
He's been with me over the years. We went to high school together.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he ain't D.C.
He's not D.C. Yeah. He's Boston.
And from there, how do you get to West Man? Where's the Gobblehoof put together?
So that's when I get to... so I arrive...
College, right.
Yeah, I arrive at Hampshire College and...
Oh, yeah.
My roommates are Jens from Boston.
How many colleges?
What's that?
Like Northampton, Amherst.
Five.
Five colleges.
Yeah.
Right.
Smith, UMass, Amherst, not Holyoke.
Thirst used to live in the Smith College president's pad.
Yeah?
It was a nice pad. Big basement. Okay, so you're at...
So this is when I get turned on to... So Jens has 3,000 records. He turns me on to Minutemen and Sonic. He turns me on to all the stuff that's... And Dinosaur starts playing in my apartment. We have...
What about Deep Wound?
Deep Wound is finished. Dinosaur is starting.
Did you see them play it on?
No, I never did. Never did. And Dinosaur was still instrumental, basically.
Yeah.
At that
point.
Well,
he started to play guitar, right? Because he's really a drummer.
Yeah.
Comes over. Exactly. Lou was the guitar.
And he would bring full stacks into my apartment. Which is like a little bigger than this. Yeah. So,
just blasting away.
Wow.
And what, the Hoof is kind of like inspired by this?
Well, he just, you know, he at one point asked me to play drums in Dinosaur, because I don't know what he...
Oh, really?
Okay. But he'd already done the first record at that point. And I said, well, I don't play drums, but he said, well, then...
You played a little in D.C., right?
A little bit,
but
yeah.
But you never played again?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, he saw me play once, but I wouldn't last very long. Jay encouraged me to finish some songs and go in the studio.
And that became Gobble Hoof.
Yeah, and that was...
How'd you meet Charlie?
I think I met Charlie through Jens or Jay, and
these guys grew up there.
Right, and he had been in Deep Wound and was looking for a project.
Yeah.
So we had this. We had Eric Gaffney from Sebado in the band for a minute, and then it settled on. And then Jay took over on drums, basically, and we went and made a record.
Who came up with the name of the band?
Put it on New Alliance. Yeah. Mike Watts.
Who came up with the name of the band?
It was a collaborative effort.
Gobblehoof is kind of true.
Yeah, it was. We were all in the car throwing names out.
Okay.
And that got the biggest laughs, I think.
Knucklehead Defiance.
Well, speaking of which, Brother Matt, let's bring forth the spin segment. Tim Aaron,
cool.
On guitar improvise.
Yeah, well done.
Right.
Are you with me out there? And when they come to march on you, tell them to make sure they got their James Brown pants. And don't be surprised if Ali is in the White House. Reverend Ike, Secretary of the Treasury. Richard Pryor, Minister of Education. Stevie Wonder, Secretary of Fine Arts. And Miss Aretha Franklin, the First Lady. Are you out there, CC? Chocolate City is no dream. It's my piece of the rock. And I dig you, CC. God bless Chocolate City. And it's for y'all, suburbs. Can y'all get to that? Got New York, I'm told.
tearing it up all over the spin cycle.
I don't know.
I don't know about that. Like I said, I'm just,
Brother Matt,
just getting warmed up.
Thank you for another installment of the spin cycle. What made you do what you did to us today?
I think that was mostly pretty much stuff that you guys were talking about, or that...
A little dinosaur bit.
Got some Chocolate City, got some dinosaur.
Wow, oh yeah.
Yeah, Captain Beefheart in there.
Nice.
Cool, that was fun.
I remember that Beastie, yeah, when they're playing their stuff again. And,
We haven't seen Money Mark in a long time.
No, we haven't, and that's him.
Yeah.
With them.
Brother Very
Adam
cool.
On the bass.
Very Brother cool, Adam thanks, Tim.
And Mike Diamond, drumming. Yeah, so play along with Jay like that. That was a trip, huh?
Yeah, that's...
You know, Gary Scheider, Eddie Hazel, Boogie Pal, Billy Bass, Bernie Worrell, and of course...
Oh, yeah.
They're coming. Clint. They're going to be at Novo.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. We've come to that end of the second hour. What's the pedal's name?
A Lucio.
Cool Lucio. Little dude.
Hey. Check it out. Read the newspaper. Anyway, the end of the second hour edition 2016. December 6th. Special guest Tim Aaron, me and Brother Matt with you. Hold tight for hour three.
Cool.
December 6th, 2016. It's third hour of the Watt Pedro Show.
Time that you spend from your eyes to the cooler.
day ecosystems, forests, streams, lakes, rivers, they have no rights. They're property, which means they can be bought, sold, destroyed, traded, carved up. Under this structure of law, you're either property or you're a person. And it's very clear that nature is property.
Thank you. What's that? What's that now? Can they look? Can they touch? Can they take our house? What's that? Who's that? What's that now? Cause to them it's just concrete and dust, but to you and me it's not that, but it's us. When they break down, when they break down the door,
Pedro Show started the third hour off with Merrick doing Ladders to Fire. Tell us about that, Tim.
Well, it's a little bit of a leap. I left East Coast, came out to L.A. and kept doing Gobblehoof for a little while. But SST kind of hit hard times and didn't really have an outlet for that third record that still hasn't come out really technically, except for that label that I sort of put on Bandcamp.
It's going down the road. Bandcamp.
Yeah, I'm going to put it out. And
you're going back east to record with Charlie, right?
I'm going to go there over Christmas and get him for the last couple songs.
Yeah, I bet you.
Which is really cool.
Who's the bass?
Well, it's Kurt Fedora. It's Jens on the first record, then Kurt Fedora on the second record.
know Kurt.
Yeah.
I didn't know the first guy.
Yeah, and then this guy Tom Barta from a band called DFL did the LA.
Oh, I remember DFL.
Yeah.
What, that wasn't that Ad Rock?
Yeah.
No, for a little while, I think, like yeah. This little side project.
Yeah. So, so he plays on that third record.
But you came out here, the hoof sputters out.
Yeah, it sputters out. I try to do a thing. Well, I do this one band called Spork with this director, Tom Stern. And we shoot a Marilyn Manson video in my backyard, and then we jump on this tour, and we got kicked off in about 5 days.
Sport?
Yeah.
Sport got the scissors?
Yeah. But I moved in with John Joyce.
That's a name. Who would call their band Sport?
Yeah.
It's sports metal. I remember that's what they called kind of Limp Bizkit music in Japan. Sports metal.
Yeah. I moved in with this guy, John Joyce. I don't know if you remember him from Run, Rusty Run.
Sure, yeah. Of course.
Yeah, so we lived in the valley, and I did odd jobs in music, and met Penelope Spheris, and she gave me a soundtrack to do for this movie called Senseless that I just totally screwed up.
Well, that's a good title.
Yeah, and
what was she expecting?
And that was sort of my demise years. I ended up on the Circus Ridiculous with Chicken John from Gigi Allen's band.
Yeah,
that was sort of my bottom. Like a 6 month tour. Play guitar at his. He had like this rock opera that we would perform.
Yeah,
it's like an anarchist circus.
Cirque.
And then that ended me. Finally, that after the bottom was over, ended up back in L.A. working in a studio. I was working on a Kiss Alive 4 record as an assistant engineer.
Doing.
I was in charge of the crowds because they wanted it to sound live.
Yeah, right.
So I had all my friends in a room and we were all screaming at the top of our lungs.
Beef up the paltry. Yeah.
Paul Stanley was in this little booth going, "Just look at you all. Just look at you all, take two. How are y'all doing out there?" They redid everything on the record, you know. It's
like the
taste
of alcohol.
And this Lowell George's daughter, Inara George.
Yeah, Topanga, right? Bee and
the Bird and the Bee.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she's in the studio recording, and she needs a slide part on one of her songs, and. I was just scared shitless because her dad was an amazing slide
player. Man, he was the man.
And suddenly I was just brought in. And then I recorded a couple songs with them, and then they asked me to join the group, and we did a couple albums.
Okay.
We recorded out in Jackson Brown's studio. It was nice
so
and mellow.
It was
mellow.
Just a lot of luck, a chance.
Yeah, it was just a mellow thing for me to be. It's totally different than anything else I've done.
That's
you
okay.
know, I had to learn how to play light, really light.
Yeah,
sort of
course.
Melodic.
But that's vocabulary.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Okay, then we heard Hello. Got some bunch of music from Ben, Mr. Susan, South London. Hello Bastards, Environmental Holocaust, Bearded Youth Quest, Stuck in the Mud, Secret Black Boyfriend with Hepatitis, Exploder Than You with Castle House, and then Creature Box with just House. Got a little house connect there. Right now you're doing Bright Sides, right?
Yeah.
So explain this, because we're going to do a tune, Sleeping.
Oh, okay. So, well, this is music. I had assembled a lot of songs I'd written over the years for a lot of different projects, but I didn't really have the confidence to sing. You know, it took me, forever to finally. I mean, I would do it here and there, but finally I just really just was very determined, and I had all these songs, and I had melodies, but I didn't have lyrics, so I had to also sort of get into lyric writing, and I've just been into finishing things, and I'm playing with this band, The Bright Sides, is a collection of music where I'm actually singing on the music,
yeah.
And that song is about a boy who falls in love with a girl of his dreams, and then he hears some kind of Buddhist philosophy that dreams are reality, and reality is
the jack chair.
Yeah.
And reality is a dream, so he's trying to get between these two worlds to try to get to
her. That's exactly the Adventures of Jack Flanders. He gets a chair in the mail and sucks him into an alternate universe.
Oh, yeah?
And it takes him, what, like 14 hours? It's a
bunch of episodes.
You find out that he was the dude who ended up sending himself the chair from that
fucking nice.
It's kind of like this guy.
Yeah.
But that's a great song. Let's just...
Shake the morning, goodbye to break the sun. sacred cows in Hadley, Massachusetts.
Watt from Pedro Show, last music for this edition. The Bright Sides was Sleeping. After that, something live from the Stick Sellers, Contaminated. Negative Scanner after that, out of, I think, of Chicago. And the tune is Ivy League Asshole. Isn't that nice? M.B. Jones with a demo of his Sacred Cows of Hadley, Massachusetts. I think it's West Mass.
Yeah, no, that's right there, right between Northampton and Amherst.
But kind of tiny.
Yeah.
Not as big as... You know this guy, Matt Jones? He's pretty prolific. He writes a lot. And he, you know, he's been teaching in Korea and stuff, and now he came back and he's making music. He lived in Oaktown for a while. And finally, Tolum with Pride, Prejudice, and Fear. Optimistic way to end the show. Tim Aaron here about his journey through music. Plans now is pursue
more bright sides. Put out the Model Actress records.
Put out the Model Actress. You didn't really discuss them.
Yeah,
that's David Yao.
That David Yao introduced me to them, and we that was very much inspired. Like
David Yao now lives. Remember we had him on the show.
Yeah, I mean he guessed on one song on the EP that was put out before I joined it, but I'm finishing the EP into an LP, and then we have an extra record pretty much close to done. And that was very sort of, that band's very Minutemen, sort of Gang of Four, Dog-Faced Hermans, kind of rhythmic influenced. And it was a great
opportunity. Dog-Faced Hermans, I think they were Scotland, huh?
Yeah. Some of them turned into the X, yeah.
Yeah, some ended up in the Dutch Cats X,
right.
Yeah.
Right, so very rhythmic.
What about advice?
Advice?
Yeah, come on, how long has the journey been for you? 30, 40 years. So let's say younger cat.
Well.
Asked.
I've just kept making music, and I haven't really had an outlet for it until recently when I put together this label.
Yeah.
Except for early on when I was on New Alliance, so... And then I've, you know, just struggled getting by doing sound and music for various TV shows. But, you know, now I kept asking musical legal questions of my buddy from the Radical Law Center.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, why don't you stop asking me questions and study the law with me? You can do it for free. You can become a lawyer in California if you get a lawyer to sponsor you.
Yeah.
And you do it through the Bar Association, so... This is my latest attempt to support my
wow, cool.
support
it's
making
like
music.
It's like a parallel path to your music is
yeah, and then
music,
I
law.
Yeah, well, I also got I discovered
was a band. There was a band that had a great name.
Entertainment Law.
Yeah, it was the dude. That's right. It was a friend of the dude who was the guest, right? It was Eli or something.
Yeah,
and his band's name was Entertainment Law.
Oh yeah.
But you're thinking of like a branch of this music law.
You know, we do criminal law. We help guys who are just, you know, right now just getting screwed.
But you got into it because of music law.
Yeah, I already knew some stuff.
Somebody's trying to jive you over some deal.
You know, just various things over the years.
Yeah.
Just I didn't know that if you actually collaborate with someone, help you write and you create something, if you don't sign a work for hire, you actually have the equal right to exploit that music.
Sure.
So I had all this huge collection, and I was like, well, I don't have everybody's permission.
Yeah.
And then I just found out I didn't need it.
Okay. So your advice would be what? I know what the law is?
It's well,
what would you tell somebody young getting into music? Or old. Let's say they're older and they want to get into music. Because, you know, Vincent van Gogh only painted in his last 10 years.
Yeah.
I don't think... Joe Baez, I think, started learning guitar at 27.
I think one thing I learned about singing is that just because you have a voice doesn't mean you can pick it up and sing. You have to spend nearly as much time as you did developing your chops on your instrument to your voice,
you
got to learn it. You got to
work,
and then it just doesn't happen like magic. You know, it's
like a muscle.
Yeah, and then you can get there. I mean, that's the thing.
No, that's great
advice. I discovered late. You know,
that's great advice because I think the age of the remote control for television, people think, maybe music. You just have to wave the magic wand. You don't have to put
it's any... trial and error, like editing,
you
know?
Put work in.
Absolutely.
So I want to thank you so much for being on the show, Brother Matt.
Such a pleasure.
Cool.
Thank you for your always essential aid, Ben. Best of luck with the Bright Sides.
Thank you.
And these other things too. Model, actress.
Gobblehoof re-release.
And Gobblehoof, which goes all the way back to the beginning. So that's neat. You still have a connect with that.
Yeah.
Wish you best luck.
All right, thank you.
Well, it's been December 6th, 2016 edition. We'll walk for Pedro Show. Me and Brother Matt, we're going to see what Patterson's screening.
Yeah, Jim Jarmusch
has a new movie.
All right.
And, you know, me and Brother Matt don't go to a lot of screenings. So it'd be kind of special for us. But it was very, very special to have you aboard.
Oh, you have been a help over the years. Just an inspiration. Thank you.
Grazie. Havala. Everybody out there, keep your powder dry.
Yeah.